to Whitley Penn Talks, a podcast series for Whitley Penn. This is WP Cares, our podcast series that focuses on local nonprofit organizations. Chris is here from Fort Worth Report. I'm so excited. He's the CEO and publisher of such an amazing organization in our local community. Chris, would you tell us a little bit more about Fort Worth Report?
I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me here, Emily. The Fort Worth Report is a nonprofit and nonpartisan news organization. We're entirely focused on local news about Fort Worth and Tarrant County. We're sort of the answer to the fact that legacy media has had its business model disrupted, and the days when I'm a longtime newspaper guy, but when newspapers were everywhere and we're literally the internet of their time. Those days are gone, unfortunately, but the need for local news is greater than ever, and that's where we are. We try to bring people trusted local news, again, that's nonpartisan, that's not offering opinions. Well, we certainly are all about engaging people in civic life, election coverage and the like, but we'll never tell anybody who to vote for. We're just trying to inform people, and think that's so important.
I agree. I think I've shared with you before, I actually wanted to be a sports writer when I grew up and then pivoted hard to accounting. So this is a little bit nerve-wracking to have you here and have the tables reversed where I'm interviewing a professional interviewer, but I'm excited for this opportunity and to get to learn more about you guys.
Yeah, well, and we're like the polar opposites, and because my dad is a retired CPA. And if I were smart, I would have been a CPA, honestly. But I just have loved journalism from a young age. And I wanted to be a sports writer, too, at a young age. I just loved everything about Sports Illustrated is what I read. And Dan Jenkins was one of those writers, Fort Worth's own Dan Jenkins, all those Sports Illustrated writers I loved. I loved baseball books like The Boys of Summer by Roger Kahn and The Natural by Bernard Malamud. It was an amazing book. And those kind of influences made me really think that sports journalism was where I wanted to head. Although my last semester at the University of Kansas, I said, well, maybe I should just check out accounting. And I took an accounting class as an elective my spring semester, my senior year. And that was, I was happy just to get out of that.
Oh, that's amazing. So you've given us a little bit of your background, yeah. But would you tell us more about how you got plugged into Fort Worth Report, how you came over to work here?
Sure. It's a great story, a story of Fort Worth, really. I mean, Fort Worth has an attitude of, we've got a problem here, what do we do about it? And so long before I came on the scene, Fort Worth business and community leaders got together and said, you know, our local newspaper is withering on the vine, but the need for local news is greater than ever. We know how important local news is at holding a community together, telling its story, helping it just be the fabric of the community. And they said, but they didn't know what to do about it. They really weren't sure what the solution was. But they started investigating around and learned about the Texas Tribune, which is a statewide nonprofit news organization, and thought, well, that's interesting, but we want something specific to Fort Worth. And then they realized that there was one in San Antonio that was similar to us, and they went and visited it and thought, well, if San Antonio can do it, then certainly Fort Worth can do it. And so they went to the various foundations, and the Burnett Foundation, Ann Marion, literally on one of her last wishes was to found the Fort Worth Report, and gave us $1.25 million to get started as initial seed money. And so the board that had formed to do this started recruiting me as the founding publisher and CEO, and it was just a perfect fit for sort of the culmination of my longtime newspaper career. I'd had the great fortune in 2005 and 6 to be a Nieman Fellow at Harvard studying the digital future of news. And this is sort of everything that I wanted to do, to actually be building up a new model for supporting local news. Rather than toward the end of my career was of newspaper career was just managing decline, which is a very difficult place to be. So I consider this just a tremendous opportunity to be building a future for local news. And my wife and I have two kids who are UT grads in journalism, who are both working in the field. So I think about them a lot when I think about what we're building a future for.
That's so exciting. I'm so excited that you came here and started this legacy, and for Mrs. Marion making this a wish for the community that would benefit so many of us.
Right. It's amazing.
So what sparked your interest in journalism? You've talked a little bit about it, but if you could give me a little more.
Right. Yeah, sports journalism was definitely at my core, but it was really just storytelling in general that I loved when I was a kid. I grew up in the time when everybody got the newspaper. I mean, my family got the morning Topeka paper, the evening Topeka paper. We got the Kansas City Star. And I just found that everything about that was fascinating to me. Started reading sports, of course, started reading the comics, all those things. And then when I was young, I started typing up the Cobbler News. I had my own typewriter and wrote up stories like Mom Kills Snake in Garden, and I would type it up, give it to my dad. He would photocopy it. Back then we said Xerox it, but anyway, it's been a while. I'm dating myself. And then I'd sell it to everybody in the family for a nickel a piece. It was a great business model because I had 100% penetration of my market, no overhead. Right. It was so I've been working back to that model for as long as I can. But it was just something I loved to read, loved to tell stories. And it just took off from there. And I really have been so fortunate to have the career I've had, despite all the changes from the time when I started typing up it and photocopying it to everything that's changed over the time when my career started. You know, there was no internet. It was a different time. I really remember even in a newsroom. Because I'd been in one newsroom that had just had email. Then I went to a new newsroom in Denton actually. And they didn't, I don't know if I can get that straight. That was Denton had email, then I moved to another newsroom. And I had to explain to people how to use email. Mm. Can you imagine that? I was telling things that people still should know, actually, email etiquette. Things like, well, you know, old enough people remember the little pink slips you'd say while you're out and you'd leave a note for somebody that you need to return this message. And I say, don't put an email, anything that you wouldn't just put on somebody's desk for everybody to see. Just say, hey, just use it for information. Don't use it for express, you know, opinions or emotions. That's not really what email is about. But anyway, things have changed so much over that time. But through it all, it's always been about, to me, bringing a community together. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about doing the Fort Worth Report. You know, certainly it's important to us to do those harder edge stories like local government accountability, and where that doesn't happen, things don't work well. I mean, our forefathers envisioned the Fourth Estate for a newspaper to be holding public officials accountable. But it's that part is very important. But beyond that, it's connecting people. I think that's what at the core, and I've just always loved that.
I think that's so true. You've published several articles recently in the Fort Worth Report. So in real time, we're recording this on a Friday in February. You've published articles about the mental health support that the Fort Worth Fire Department is going to be receiving. Mm-hmm. You've published, I believe it was possibly even yesterday or today, a story about a individual in Arlington who wanted to open up a local preschool.
Right.
And basically has been blocked by the city of Arlington and by her neighbors from being able to do that. And you just touch so many different things besides local government. And it's fascinating to see how many articles I click on and I think, oh, I have a personal connection to this story.
Yeah, that is what's so fun about it. People tell me, our new development director, Sonia Wears a Whiskey, she had a great story of herself, but she was saying, she was so drawn to our news organization before she became a part of it, because she said I was constantly reading and learning things that I didn't realize that I needed or wanted to learn. But when I did, I was so thankful that that I did. And that's what we're trying to go for, that people feel instantly connected and drawn to what we're doing.
That's great. So you have talked quite a bit about the coverage for local politics, and I think this is, as you and I discussed privately before, so invaluable. Mm-hmm. My father was on the school board for what feels like half of my life and the majority of my time growing up, and I remember the days when you would read the Star-Telegram, right. and they would offer, here's the platform right. for each individual,
right.
and that's sort of died out, right. minus what you guys are doing in the community,
right.
but you also hold in-person meetings to right. allow people to come from the community. Would you speak more to
yeah.
your coverage of local politics?
Sure, sure, and our public events have been proven to be really popular. We just had two debates for the upcoming March primaries. We had the Republicans one night and Democrats the next night over at Texas Wesleyan and the beautiful Martin Center. Our offices are across the street from Wesleyan, and Wesley has been a great collaborator with us, allowing us to have a lot of our events there. And what we do is, again, write just the facts about who's running, mm-hmm. what the issues are, what the candidates say about it. We have a part of our website called Election Central, where all this coverage goes, including the stories about these debates and the video of the debates. Our partner, KRA, live streamed the debate both those nights, so it worked out really well. And we've been doing that since we started, because it's at the core of our mission, is to get people civically engaged, to get them informed, caring, connecting the dots, going out and vote, being a part of the community. I think that's so important, and unfortunately there have been opportunities to study this where that doesn't happen, where there's not local news and people become basically nationalized in their politics and in their thinking. A lot of bad things start happening. People become hyper partisan, they're not solution oriented, taxes go up, I mean people vote less, corruption goes up. It's a bad formula. And so that's why I just handed to the Fort Worth leaders who got together and said, we don't want that to happen in Fort Worth. That's not the Fort Worth that we know. So elections are never, unfortunately, I hope they'll be, I'll live to be a see a day, but they're never big drivers of our audience. I think a lot of the stories you just mentioned, where it's just kind of connecting the community, are bigger drivers of our audience. Mm-hmm. But elections are so central to what we do, because they're central to how a democracy works.
I think, too, one of the things that's so unique about Fort Worth is the connectivity of the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's particularly true in the nonprofit community.
Right.
There's always a helping hand. But right. without that engagement in local politics, we sort of lose out on some of the connections that we could have as a community. But I think we do a pretty good job of being involved and giving each other support.
Yeah, definitely. And definitely, I love... You know, my whole career was in the for-profit media world, so I've had to learn a ton in the nonprofit world, and I'm very appreciative of Whitley Penn in that regard, and you, Emily, because it is very different. But what I love about it is the collaborative spirit of nonprofits. I mean, not certainly in Fort Worth, but also across the country. There are over 400 nonprofit news organizations now across the country. And I can pick up the phone and call almost anybody in a nonprofit news organization and say, how are you handling this? What's working for you? What's not working for you? And everybody's happy to do that. And then here in Fort Worth, when we're doing, for example, our election debates, pick up the phone and say, talk to the Steer Fort Worth, the League of Women Voters, KRA, all other nonprofits, and say, why don't we all work together and do this together and try to get a bigger audience together? And everybody's on board with that. And in the for-profit newspaper world, there's sort of this ultra competitiveness that kind of prevented some of that from happening.
Sure. So tell us about some initiatives that are going on in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I believe last year you celebrated a big birthday. Anything else fun coming
up? Yeah, well, coming up very soon is our third birthday. We're turning three. April 12th is officially our anniversary, but April 11th is when we're going to have a birthday party at Dickie's Arena. So we're going big time with this birthday party. Well, he's a part of Dickie's Arena. We're not going to fill the whole arena, but we're not, maybe someday we'll get Leon Bridges to play someday. No, anyway, but we're going to, it's going to be a great great event. We're really excited for that. So you'll see in a lot more marketing material about that. But it's a way to celebrate all the members, all the people who've given to us. You know, we're a member supporter, member owned, community owned. And then the other big initiative we've got going on right now, you just mentioned the Arlington story. We just this week started an Arlington report, so a targeted publication for Arlington. And like in Fort Worth, Arlington people came to us and said, "We love what you're doing in Fort Worth. Would you consider doing something like that for Arlington, which is the largest city in the country without a daily newspaper?" So it's certainly needed there too, and I'm very excited about the reception we're getting there. I got invited to the Arlington Rotary, one of the Rotary clubs, and yesterday I was there, got introduced by a very nice fellow, and when he introduced me, he was saying, and they just started the Arlington Report, the room broke out in applause. I was like so moved by that, touched by that people really do want local news. They really do want to be connected. It's a shame to me that newspapers have struggled the way they have, because I think over the last 10, 20 years, a lot of younger people have just lost that connection entirely. They don't even sort of know what a newspaper is, because it's been that long, unfortunately, and since they've had the sort of presence that they once had. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if we wanted to get more involved with Fort Worth Report, how could we do that?
Well, first, definitely got to go to fortworthreport.org, which is our website. So go there. And then at the top of our website is a button that says subscribe. And you can read the Fort Worth Report for free. That's real central to our mission, that we think everybody ought to have access to local news. So you can sign up for, we have a variety of newsletters. The Morning Report, which is sort of a roundup of all of our headlines, will come in your email if you subscribe to that button. But we also have various topical newsletters too. So you can, on Mondays, get the business report if that's what you're really interested in. On Tuesdays, the school report if education is really your thing. On Thursdays now is the Arlington Report. Monthly on Wednesdays is our environmental coverage, the Green Report. Coming soon, we're in the planning stages, so get excited about this, is our arts and events calendar newsletter. That will be coming out soon, so we're growing in that area. Saturday is our weekly roundup. So all these different ways, but it all starts with going to fortworthreport.org, or if you're in Arlington, you can go to arlingtonreport.org and sign up for the newsletter. And then once you get the newsletter, don't be surprised, you'll see our digital pledge drives, because we are member supported, saying that, hey, if you can't afford, give some level of support to us, because our goal is to get up over 100,000 newsletter subscribers. And we know from what others in the industry have seen that a certain percentage of those people are going to give at some level, and that can be a really strong, stable revenue stream for us. So that's what we're looking to do. So subscribe if you like it, you want to become a member, give to us. We'd love that.
That's great. Yeah. So there has just been so much we've covered today. Yeah. I think one of my closing questions is always, where can you learn more? But I'm in an interesting situation here where you've told us where we can learn more, and we know we can go read quite a bit about you and from you every day.
You can. Our website is sprinkled throughout with lots of information about our team, about our board of directors, which is this great group of people that are all doing this on a volunteer basis because they believe in the mission. You can read about our mission statement. You can read about our editorial independence policy. That kind of question comes up a lot. I mean, we are totally run by the community. It's not, I find this the purest form of journalism I've been able to do in my career, because it's really, we're responsive to the community. We listen to the community. That's it. It's not some big power broker or somebody like that. It's like, what is the community interested in? What do they care about? And we look at that. We look at, because we can tell, because of the wonderful digital age, if they read a story and they click to subscribe to our newsletter, we know that. And we look at that and say, well, what story was it that got the most people to subscribe? And so what kind, and we adjust based on that, what kind of stories do people really care about, and try to give them more of that too.
So we're going to pivot hard here, but you know that I'm a big Texas Rangers fan. Maybe not the biggest, but one of the biggest fans.
Well, you can tell I'm a sports fan too, so that's fair.
So I love the Arlington Report. Yeah. I think this, I expect some hard-hitting Rangers coverage. But I do want to ask, who's going to win the 2024 World Series?
Wow, that's a tough one. I can't pick against the Rangers. I grew up a Kansas City Royals fan, but it's been a long time. You'll like the story. I was really sold on being a journalist when I was a 16-year-old sports editor of my high school paper, and I wrote to the Kansas City Royals, typed a letter, and said, I really like to interview this up-and-coming young star you have. Can you please do that? And don't ask me why. The Kansas City Royals, this is a different time, I guess, sent me a letter back, said, sure, come on down. And so I brought two photographers with me, although I only needed one, actually. But they both wanted to come. And the Royals had me behind in the clubhouse, you know, behind the dugout, interview George Brett for a half hour, just me.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? And I was like, that's still a highlight of my career. I can't imagine the patience he had while I'm like a 16-year-old pimply-faced kid asking him questions like, who's the hardest pitcher for you to hit and things like that. He just would just answer my questions, and then they gave us seats behind home plate too.
Wow.
So, I thought, wow, I get just to ask questions and meet fascinating people, sometimes even celebrities. What a great job this is.
That's incredible. I'm so excited the Royals were that kind to you.
To this day, I don't really don't know why, but it was wonderful. There's a story, there's basically an axiom in writing stories. You're not supposed to just empty your notebook. You should actually write what people are interested in, be more selective. That story, I pretty much emptied my notebook and filled up the whole pages of the Blue Streak newspaper that I wrote for.
I think that one might have been merited.
Yeah.
Well, we are so grateful you came on here to join us and to say more about Fort Worth Report and tell us how to get involved. We'll be looking forward to helping you celebrate your third birthday on April 12th. If you have listened to this podcast and appreciated what you learned, we would love for you to share more about this organization. You can like, comment, or share on Whitley Penn's social media post, and then Fort Worth Report will probably also share it,
and you can
do that as well on theirs. And we thank you so much for listening in with us today, and hope that you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you so much.
Thank you.